And welcome back to Kings of the Rift, your source for competitive League of Legends news and opinions and coaching advice as well on League of Legends. I'm your host, Gold Knight, and it has been quite a trip. I have had a great time here teaching you guys and kind of figuring everything out when it comes to TikTok, to Twitter, to Twitch, to all this. And it has been very nice to see all of you really taking to it and doing those likes, doing those follows, all this different stuff. Love it for sure. But going into it even more, thank you for all of you for listening. This is fantastic. This podcast is available where all the other fine podcasts can be found. Leave a review if you're on iTunes. It really helps to get this podcast noticed. As well as on Spotify and all the other things there. Anywhere else you can find us, follow the podcast and follow the stream, follow YouTube, all that, to get an update when a new episode gets posted. If you have any ability to help out the stream, whether that be through, through following, through any of that different stuff, or even a subscriber on Anchor, definitely get on there and help us out there. Any bit of help is fantastic, and your support will help keep making the podcast better and better. But before we get into really anything else, let's talk about what we're going to talk about today. Today we're going to talk about coaching you, the viewer, behind the screen right now, behind the earbuds, coaching you how to crush the early game and what you need to do to really get into the furthest part of solo queue that you want to be in. Or, competitively, if you want to be on a competitive team, figuring things out and just crushing your opponents, that's great. So, let's get right into it. So, basically, early game goes to those who are most proactive. You can see it from watching a lot of the different pro leagues and everything like that. You're going to see a point where the ones who are proactive in the early game are the ones who actually get stuff done. They're the ones who are able to focus on the plays that kind of push towards like important leads. Not just leads and kills or leads in just like items and all this, but to actually get a lot more than just a kill. That's the biggest thing I think a lot of people kind of focused on or try to focus on too much is, well, if I get an early game and I'm just killing people, that's great. That's they're ahead, I'm ahead, they're behind, all this. And that's all right. But a kill for the sake of a kill is pretty pointless. Players respawn, but towers and stacking dragons really don't. What you want to do is you want to, instead of backing off, like if you're going after a kill with a gank or something like that, try to invade the jungle or take a tower, take a camp, or transition to take Herald or Dragon. It's definitely something that you can kind of get to a point of, contention there with people. And really make it so that you are the strongest in the early game that you really can be. Now, obviously, one of the first parts of early game is going to be the early laning phase. And the early laning phase, you may basically just need to out-CS your opponent. You need to out-CS your opponent, try to kill them, and just don't die to enemy ganks. That's the biggest thing that really can be helpful, the helpful tip. Warding obviously helps with that. But every single lane should affect the other lanes. that's kind of how it goes. There's a push and pull, like it's almost like an ebb and flow. It's like waves. I mean, literally in League of Legends, the minion waves are actual minion, like they're waves, they're called. But things do ebb and flow when you are playing the game. If your top laner is pushed in really hard, and you know that he's most likely going to be ganked, well then you can push in a little bit harder on the bot lane and kind of cause and take the effort that he's putting in the top lane and the attention that he's getting kind of pulled to him to now take it and move it to you. Take that pressure and advantage and move it into your side. You can really take a look at it and you see that instead of being ganked in the bot lane where you are, if your top lane's pushing and he's prime target for a gank, and you know that most likely the jungler's on the top side, well then you're good to go in the bot side. You don't have to worry about figuring things out there and really getting to a point where you are just like put behind. You should really be communicating with your team, even with a team that you're playing with in solo queue or something. Competitive, obviously, it's a little bit more than that, but in solo queue, you really should be pinging when your enemies are, when you're, the person who you're laning against is missing, when they are going to top lane or they're going to bot lane. If you see kind of like where they're moving, if you're, let's say you're mid lane. But even if they're just backing, you just don't really know where they are, it's good to ping that they're missing. Because on the off chance that they are there, they are in your, let's say, they're going bot. That way you are not considered the one who's like in the problem there. But you're able to also cause your other laners to maybe play a different way because they realize, oh, the Aurelia is missing mid and we just don't know where she is. If she comes bot, she can, you know, we're pushed up pretty far. Let's back off a little bit. We'll see what she's doing, see where the, you know, where the priority is. And if we can get her, great. If we can't, then we can't. You know, if we do know where she is and we can be aggressive now a little bit more because she actually, we saw her on top scuttle or something like that, then we know we're good to go. But if you're playing competitively, you honestly need to be letting your teammates know, like, hey, I pushed this person back. They have to roam, or they have to back even. Or if you just kind of take a look and you say, okay, well, they just pushed me in and they're most likely going to be roaming. I'm up against a LeBlanc or I'm up against a Corki or something. And you just have to really take a point where you are looking at what your enemy can do and kind of figure out what you would do in that situation. And you can kind of slide it into what needs to be done going forward. There should be a focus, really, on the communication between the jungler and the laners. The jungler is the one who's able to actually be, like, pushing everywhere. He's, you know, he's going to be one who can really be in top lane or in bot lane. He's with all around the map, basically. And he is the one who can just be, like, think about how many times you've been playing League and all of a sudden, like, you're making the perfect play. It's going to be amazing. It should be the best thing out there. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a jungler jumps in or comes out of a bush or something like that. And now you're screwed. Now you're looking at it. I just had a 2v2 or I just had a 1v1. Now we're outnumbered. That really can be put to your advantage if you're able to communicate with your jungler, or as a jungler, if you're communicating with your laners, hey, did they have to go back? Do we know if the jungler's here? The jungler can kind of also kind of take a look at the enemy's jungle and say, all right, well, he should have started blue, or we saw the, you know, we saw bot lane come late, or we saw top lane come late to lane. he most likely did it this way. He did a full clear. He did three camps, whatever. And he can really figure out where we need to go or where the jungler is most likely to be. Now, of course, we talked in the last episode about the idea of drafting and kind of figuring all that stuff out. And really looking at it and saying, where can we take a point and like look to get an advantage? And we can get an advantage through draft. You can also get an advantage within the early game by just focusing on being that proactiveness, by making the plays and thinking ahead and like tracking either your enemies' movements, like your actual enemy like laner's movements, or even just the jungler's movements too, to be able to say, okay, well, the jungler's top side and he's ganking top, we can take dragon. Let's do that. Let's get it all set. Take dragon before 8 minutes. Then we can roll that into a herald and just keep it rolling. But of course, you know, one of the things we talked about two episodes ago in the timing episode, that it actually one of the big things to have is vision control. And vision control can actually win or lose you the game. I feel like you can lose a game with pure vision, and you can win a game with no vision, of course. But you have more information to grab from if you have the vision control in the map. So you need to, when you put down wards and everything, you need to have a ward and you need to put it down with a purpose. You can't just be throwing it around and being like, I'll just throw it in the bush here. One of the biggest things I've seen is that people will see the jungler heading towards top, the enemy jungler heading towards top, and they'll be in their bot lane. And they'll see mid lane in the mid lane just farming and all this, and they'll go up, bot lane will or support will go up and actually put a ward in the river brush for no reason. That jungler who's top lane right now, executing a gank on top, getting top scuttle or something like that, is not going to be down in your lane in less than a minute, which is what it usually takes for your wards to expire there. So why are you warding there? Why are you putting that down just so you can have your trinket, you know, down and it's not, you know, kind of just staring you in the face, the yellow eye just looking at you? Why are you warding there? Or if you know that the enemy hasn't moved up so far, why are you sweeping an area that they couldn't have even placed wards down in? I honestly think there's a big issue we're having with people also buying pink wards too, or the control wards. Control wards are too... people are too focused on control wards. I think at one point it was no one buys control wards, and then everyone said, okay, well, we gotta buy control wards. And then the next thing you know, we're buying too many. People need to focus on like the utility behind the control wards, at least, and taking a look at where control wards are placed, and if you need to make another one, if you need to take another control ward, bring it out, all this, because each control ward, as you know, costs 75 gold. And 75 gold is a decent chunk of change. Especially in the early game when you are trying to get your items. If you look at something like a support, who's usually the ones who are buying the most control wards, you don't need to have two in pocket at all times, especially if you have one down. If you're moving into a new place, you're moving into jungle area, jungle corridor or something, or you're moving into the area around dragon or baron or something like that, then sure. Get a ward or two just in case it gets taken out, or you need to, you know, ward up a new area or something. But that's 75 gold that you're wasting on, or even 150 gold right there, wasting in your pocket just sitting there for however long, when you could have used that gold to push yourself into having, you know, your better item. That could easily be done. But during the early game is where we're kind of focusing. It'll be mostly the jungler and the support that'll be doing, like, the warding and the sweeping and all that. The jungler and support should really gain the vision in the enemy jungle, too. That's a good spot to be because the jungler can always change up the way they're ganking. But the camps are only in certain places. The camps are in the camps. So if you can have vision of where the jungler is within camps, you can kind of at that point make a bit of an inference on where the jungler is actually going from there. Of course, it's not going to be perfect. The guy could be seen on blue buff on red side, and you could see that, okay, well, he's headed to Gromp. All right, well, he could take Gromp, and he could go down bot lane to get you, or he could take Gromp and just back out of vision, you know, not even knowing that he's in vision. Like, he doesn't know, but he could just back on Gromp, and he's going back to his base. He's, you know, going to go out top lane now. That's something that's very much possible. But there's basically, you got to kind of get that forward vision and try to figure things out and try to take a point and look at what the early game actually brings you when it comes to your aggressive ability to have that vision control. However, with all this vision control talk and all this, you shouldn't make plays just on vision alone. You know, you shouldn't be like, well, you know, we don't see the jungler on vision, let's do this. There's also the idea that, like, as much as you have vision in an area, you also don't have vision in the other. Seeing the enemy in vision is just as valuable as not seeing the enemy in vision. Because if you have, let's say, all of red side, like the top, you know, let's say top quadrant of red side lit up with wards. And you know that there's no way that the enemy jungler could be up there. Well, then where else is he? He's probably in the bot side. Why wouldn't he be? He's not here. Where is he? He's over here. So you at least know he's not in this area. That's information right there. It doesn't seem like it's the ideal information, but you kind of play with what you do know to make it, to kind of reveal what you don't know. And that's something I think a lot of people don't really put an eye towards. They just focus on, well, I don't know where he is. I don't see him on vision. We can't make the play. We don't know where he is. Well, you know where he's not, so that's good. You know where he's not, so he's most likely over here. There's obviously a bit of, what's that stuff called? Like, the variance, and there's definitely, you know, coin flip aspect to it, and randomness. You know, he could literally just be in a bush that you guys have in vision, but he doesn't show. He's been waiting there forever, and that's possible. That's definitely possible. But he also could not be. And that's the biggest thing right there. You have to figure out where you can make that distinction. One of the things I like to do when I play and I try to look at kind of how good my early game is going is actually taking a look at getting leads through what I call kills plus. Kills plus is not just kills. Kills plus is a kill into a neutral objective or a turret plate or a jungle invade or something like that. You need to be able to get a kill and not just have a kill for a kill's sake. One of the things that kind of helped me is taking a kill and then going, okay, well, with that kill, I can go take dragon. Or with that kill, I can get invade on the jungle. Because I play jungle and so that's where I focus. But if you take a point and you are, let's say, bottom lane, well, you got a kill. You got to kill on the support or something like that. Well, if you can force the enemy to back, like the ADC to back, and you can take a plate or you can deny them a wave or something like that, that's a bit of a neutral objective that you are able to actually keep away. And actually, I feel, personally, that you can really push that advantage pretty well. And I would consider that a kill plus, pretty much. So one of the things I also like to do, too, is minimizing the kills plus on yourself. So take what you will. You go through a game. You play it out. After, like, say, 2-3 games, review each game and take a look at how many kills plus were against you, but also for you. And you want more kills plus for you than for the enemy. If you know you're going to die, don't waste your flash. Don't waste your ult. All this different stuff. If your ult can save you, then use your ult. That's fine. But if you are just guaranteed to die, try to die elsewhere. Try to die away from someone. Try to die away from a turret. Or try to die while taking out a lane. You know, like a lane, like minions or something. Or try to die while taking dragon or something like that. So that you can actually get the dragon and then you die. Well, good. You died, but we still got the dragon. No problem. I think that's the best way to go about this kind of stuff. Take a look at how the early game goes. And just look at the early game, honestly, with the kills plus there. And honestly, that's going to do it for this first half here. We'll be right back after these commercial break, and we'll talk about power spikes and what you need to do to gear up for power spikes and deal with your enemy's power spikes. And we'll see you on the other side. All right, welcome back, everybody. And we're going to talk about power spikes. Power spikes are when a champion hits their power spike in just the mid-game. Usually. It's usually the mid-game. That's when they hit their power spikes. Level 6 is a big point. Or when someone gets a really big item or their signature item for them. Whether it be like a massive crit item or right now, a lot of the bruisers are getting the Ravenous Hydra. That's a huge point there. And that's something that you can kind of take a point and say, that's a power spike. That's something that you need to really take a look at and say, can I fight here? Can I not? Is it against, do I have that power spike or do they have that power spike? One of the things you need to work on is recognizing power spikes. Power spikes, we'll define them right now. Power spikes are when your team can look to make a play or to have a higher chance of winning a team fight. Usually things like this are when a champion first gets a stun in the early game. One of the best things I've seen, obviously, is something like a Lucian with a Leona or something. Leona, let's say, starts her E early game or starts her W. Usually you actually can start with a Q. But the second you get the level 2, you are able to now have access to 2 abilities that are ridiculously strong early game. Usually a lot of times before people have a getaway or an escape or the damage necessary to actually get you and kill you in the lane. So something like a Lucian Leona is able to hit level 2 on you and just Leona ease on top of you, gets you rooted, stuns you, all the while the Lucian is jumping up, dashing in, hitting his double shot, getting a piercing light, hitting another double shot, and at that point you're dead. You're gonna die. That's an early, early power spike. But it goes away quick. Power spikes can come and go. It's very much like the stock market. They go up and then they shoot right down. It's easily like, just if you take a look and you know the champions that you're playing up against, you can kind of see where their power specs are going to be. You can see what it is that you need to do to play around that. Tend to take a look here. When a player has Flash or Ignite or something like that, that should be communicated to your other allies. You take a look and you say, well, you know what? That person has Flash. I know they do. Or they don't have Flash. And that's something even better. But I have Flash instead. I can Flash on them. That's a little bit of a power play. You think of like hockey. Hockey, there comes a power play when someone's put in the penalty box. And you are now, instead of, I guess, eight men on the ice. Instead of eight men, you are now down to seven. And, well, no, like, someone's open. Someone doesn't have someone defending them. And that's just perfect. That's a power play, and that's something that you can work in your favor. And that's basically what these power spikes are here. They're giving you that little bit of extra power in that moment that your enemy does not have. Power spikes really need to be communicated, especially for a jungler to notice which lanes can be affected next. You take a look as a jungler and you say, well, they're level 5 and my team's level 6. I can go on this. If it's the opposite way, well, then you're probably going to get your team killed. That happens. But you don't want to gank that. That's the idea there. Communication will let the rest of the team know that there's an effective comp that, like, who has effective combat effectiveness, let's say. And it's whoever's more comfortable to fight in a team. That way, like, if you have access to all your abilities, including your ultimate, that is a great place to be. A great way to, like, push yourself and push your team further ahead is by accessing those power spikes and figuring things out. A lot of things I like to look at is your items are a big power spike there. Your abilities are big power spikes. Something else can be, honestly, something like, if you look at Shyvana, when Shyvana gets kills on dragons, she's getting power spikes throughout that. If she gets, even if you're thinking of objectives, if you are literally, there's a reason why in the LCS they call the, when you get Baron, the Red Bull Baron power play, and you are having so much more strength at that point. But also, even on the other side of the map, you take a look and you actually look at the dragons, and you are now at 2, 3, 4 dragons. When you hit that fifth dragon, and you have that, and you, it's fourth dragon, and you hit that soul, you are at a huge advantage in that moment. Of course, obviously, if you're ahead here, and even, I would say, even if you're not ahead, depending on the soul that you have, you can easily just take over a game and win from that point. Of course, there's a way to lose that game. We've seen that plenty of times before. But you need to really focus on your power spikes and when you can fight, but you also need to look at the enemy's power spikes. There is a way, like, sometimes you are just focusing too much on yourself, and if you take a look and actually pay attention to the enemy, like, you might be level 6. Okay, well, so is your enemy. Like, you guys, you know, tit for tat, he lost, like, one or two minions, and you got 6 first. Well, now he's 6, and this fight is now just garbage now because you can't do anything. There needs to be an evaluation of risk, like a quick little evaluation of risk between kind of every play that you're having here. Take a look at it, hit tab, take a look at your items, take a look at their items. Oh, well, I'm only on Noon Quiver, and they're on Kraken Slayer. Well, probably should back up and not fight yet. Farm up a little bit. I only have 120 gold to go. How about I go get this minion wave? Then we can fight. I'll have my curve, you know, my what is it, the Immortal Shield bow. I'll have that coming up here soon. And we'll be able to out-sustain them, and this and that. And that's your power spike. And that's where you figure this out. You kind of go back and forth. That's something that I think a lot of people don't really look at and don't really think about going into a solo queue game, for sure. But anything you put into these solo queue games, and if you do want to go pro, you do want to go amateur, you're going to need to take these little things here, these little nuggets of truth and of knowledge, and put them into your everyday play. It's nice to just play League of Legends, play fun, and just hang out and all this. But if you're going to be moving forward, being more aggressive, being more cohesive as a team, whether or not, if you're playing with ranked flex team or something, or even just trying to be a better teammate in general for solo queue, then you need to be able to kind of put these things all together in one cohesive unit. You can't just sit there and play the game and just goof off. You need to be able to translate it into power plays, into aggression for your team. And that's where this all kind of goes together, as I said in the first half of the episode. Power spikes here are just playing off the aggressiveness and your proactiveness of the early game. Of course, aggression isn't always the answer, and proactive doesn't mean aggression. It's not one and one. It's, you can be proactive and proactively defensive, knowing that they're going to go for this place. You stay there. You don't go through the jungle. You go a different way. But that's proactive. They wasted so much resources waiting in the lane brush to get you, and you just went through try or something like that. You just figured it out. You kind of were proactive. You said they might be there. Here, let's do this. We're good to go. You're good to go. All this. It's perfect. But honestly, that's how it works. You got to take a look at these things, and you got to just apply these to when you're playing a game, figuring it out, and going forward. So that's going to do it for the episode for tonight, guys. If you liked the episode, make sure to leave a like on Twitter. Make sure to leave a like if you're anywhere that you can like the podcast here. If you're on Twitter or you're on Twitch or YouTube or anything like that, do what you can to help this podcast out. I do appreciate it for sure. And thank you, all of you, for listening. I will see you in the next episode.